Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Got a very special guest, Busy Phillips, who we know from 100 TV shows. Busy, I love Girls 5 Eva, and I'm so excited to talk about that. But I also love so much of your work in the past. And just recently, I was rewatching Undeclared, which is like a Judd Apatow show. A lot of people, of course, remember Freaks and Geeks, which you were also in and was fantastic and known as sort of like one of those one season things that should have gone on forever. But for me, it was always Undeclared. And I forgot you pop up in Undeclared as Seth Rogen's love interest. And I was rewatching it.
I know. Do I do one or two episodes?
I think it's like a couple episodes. It sort of like bleeds into two or three episodes or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember how many I did. I was doing Dawson's Creek at the same time. Okay. And I had just started that show. And I remember being like, I was so jealous that Seth and Martin and Jason were all getting to continue to work together on Undeclared. And I was like feeling alone in Wilmington, North Carolina. And so when Judd asked if I wanted to like come do this part on the show, we did everything to make it happen, made it happen. It's so good.
And if people haven't watched that show, it's sort of hard to get right now, but you can order, I think, the DVDs or something online. And it's so good. So Busy, I want to talk a little bit about Girls 5 Eva. First of all, do we know anything about the future? Because I'm going to need more episodes. Netflix just obviously picked it up and came out with 6 episodes of season 3, but I need more.
I need more too. We need more. I don't know what to do. Oh, Gina, is everything okay? Gina needs more. My dog needs more.
Gina, we need it. You're right.
And we don't know yet.
I thought you might have filmed more. Like, I have this conspiracy theory. I was like, 6 episodes seems like not a lot. Like, maybe they filmed 6 more and they're going to surprise release them or something. Is that right?
I would have loved that. Like, you know, I have to say, I think that this third season is so good. I think it's the best season that we have done so far. I think that Netflix was like taking a leap of faith with the show. Because, you know, it started on Peacock. So the first 2 seasons were there. And I feel like they just wanted to do like, let's just see how it goes. Let's see if people respond to it. And then, you know, this season, like I said, like, I think it's the best season. I think it's so good. And it does feel anecdotally like so many more people are finding the show and watching it, because just from being out in the world, like, people are coming up to me or hitting me up on Instagram, like, we just binge watched the show over the weekend. But even at the time, I was like, can we just keep filming? Like, it didn't feel like enough to me, but we're just waiting now, I guess. Like, we'll see how Netflix feels. I feel positive.
Okay.
I'm hopeful.
We have to get more. Like, we have to.
I hope so.
We absolutely have to. It's the funniest fucking thing. And also, I want to just piggyback off something you said, where you say it's the best season, but I also just have to point out that almost sells the other 2 short. Like, I want people to start it from the beginning and also just know how good those other 2 seasons are, because sometimes people say something like that,
right?
And season 1 might be shitty, or it doesn't get good till 8 episodes in. But Girls 5 Eva is legitimately hilarious from the beginning.
It is Yes, that is, you're right. You know what? You're right. I should stop saying that. But like, but I guess I just have, we felt all felt so lucky to be able to go back and get to do more, because it seemed after that second season, obviously Peacock was like, probably not, you know, not going to move forward with the show. And so then to get like Netflix to come in, and we just felt like we got this new lease on our life together. And I don't know. And I do feel like it's always been a special show, like from the beginning. I love the first season. I feel like the second season, I'm like, what is wrong with me? I need to sell the show.
It's so fucking good from the beginning, Dizzy. Like, it's so good all the way through. You're so funny in it.
Thank you. Every one
of you are hilarious in it. It's great.
Thank you. And we all like really love working on it and love working together. And the writing is so good. You know, obviously like Tina Fey and her company, like they just have like that very fast jokes on top of jokes vibe to their shows, like Kimmy Schmidt and 30 Rock and Meredith Scardino, who created the show and writes a great deal of it with the writing team. It's just like, she's incredible. She's so smart. She's so fast. The songs are great. There's
so
much.
Do you have a favorite song?
I mean, I love New York Lonely Boy. I think that song's really great. Like in the Ernest songs, you know, I think Four Stars is really good, which is, I think, from season one. And then, Dream Girlfriends. I love Dream Girlfriends. I love the song I have this year. My like Adele ballad, Is There a Me? Okay. Or Is Me Just Guys?
So good.
It's so good. Oh, the songs are like actually really good.
I know. I get pissed at Netflix when it says like, do you want to skip the theme song? It's like, I'll never fucking skip this theme song because it puts me in the best mood. I'll be doing that. Five Eva. Okay. So it's about, for people who don't know, it's Girls Five Eva is about this early 2000s pop group. And you must have observed things about musicians or girl groups at that time by just being at some of these like award shows or magazine covers, because you were working. I mean, you mentioned Dawson's Creek. And so in that early 2000s time, I mean, you were really working quite a bit. I wonder, did you ever pull any of that stuff for Girls Five Eva? Maybe you were at a TRL appearance or a Teen's Choice Awards or something. Like, what did you observe about girl groups at that time?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think that we sort of have had this like collective reckoning, especially in the last couple of years with Britney's book coming out and like hearing more about the experiences that young, especially young women performers had in the late 90s and early 2000s. And while I didn't necessarily, pull anything from particular like girl groups, I was a fan of like, I mean, I went to the Spice Girls concert. I loved TLC. I loved Destiny's Child. But what I will say is that like having been a teenager at that time, like so much of the things that we make fun of and that we, you know, that are like the deep satire of the show, I relate to very much. Like, you know, what is it like? There's on Girls Five, I think it's season two, we have the Dad's Choice Awards. I mean, there are just so many references and so many like little jabs and pokes. There's one thing where I think young Summer in a flashback is being asked about her virginity, which of course, like we know, you know, like we all
nowadays
watch.
We know better than that. But back then,
We watched as like Britney Spears was like grilled about her virginity, or poor, you know, brilliant Anne Hathaway has to sit across from creepy Matt Lauer and talk about the upskirt shot from 2004. You know, like that's not that long ago. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way, and you know, and I think that I actually also think that, even though the show like came out in 2020 or, you know, spring 2021, like it was like weirdly just ahead of its time. And so now I feel like culturally we're all on board and like ready to examine and laugh at, but also like, you know, understand how young women were treated. And I like had, you know, my fair share of that stuff. You worked as a kid, you know.
Well, I didn't quite work like you as a kid, but yeah, I think it's so fascinating. Even you mentioned Britney's book, and I think we're kind of going back and examining that time. And I love nostalgia. I'm a nostalgia junkie. I love girl groups of that era, of any era, really. But yeah, it is wild to look at the way we sort of treated a lot of these celebrities. I mean, even not even just actors too. I think they're, or not even just musicians. I think actors too, young women acting, like you mentioned, Anne Hathaway. What do you, I just totally am thinking about how your friend Michelle had done the audio for Britney's book. I totally forgotten about that. I don't know how I forgot that. But so did, I don't know, did you take any of that stuff like into season three or anything? Does that make any
sense?
No.
I mean, at this point, I loved it. Obviously, yeah. I was like on board and, you know.
Were you really like, Michelle, you have to do this? Like, you have to?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she
knew that too, I'm sure.
Yeah, we talked about it. Oh. She was always like, I'm going to do this, you know?
She was so good. I mean, I don't know what award they give to that, a Grammy or something, but she needs it.
She could get a Grammy for sure. I mean, I'm like, I said to her, I'm like, girl.
She's getting the Grammy. Yeah.
You got to get a Grammy for this. That's iconic. That's iconic. Yeah. Talk about iconic.
I was so fascinated because it's such a tough gig. I was like, how is she going to do that? And then somehow she was able to tap into kind of like the vulnerability. And I don't know. It just seemed like an impossible task. And yet somehow she did a really great job, which we shouldn't have thought. Anyway, okay. I want to go through some of your other, I know I don't have too much time. So I want to go through some of your other credits. There is a pilot you did with our friend, Casey Wilson. I love Casey.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know a little bit about it because this was a Tina Fey show that ultimately didn't go, but you all filmed a pilot. Now, can you leak the pilot online? And can you tell me anything about this sort of mystery show?
Wait, can I tell you something?
Yes.
You just reminded me. Okay. So the pilot was called The Sackett Sisters, and it starred me and Casey Wilson as sisters who have parents who are like grifters. And Casey played the sister who was, you know, leading the like sort of normal life. And I played the sister that was not exactly following in the parents' footsteps, but not exactly not following in the parents' footsteps. And the two sisters come together and then accidentally find themselves like the unwitting heroes in like a fairy accident, like explosion. Like, it's so crazy. And then my character decides to try to like use it to essentially grift, right?
Okay.
And then our dad shows up, who's played by Bradley Whitford. The pilot was so funny. We had the best time. I was like, it was the first time I had worked for Tina, met Tina. And I just felt like it was after I had done Cougar Town and I had done Vice Principals with Danny McBride. And like, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm going to be on this TV show and Casey and I it's going to be great. And we're going to do it. And it didn't get picked up. Yeah. And I was so devastated that I like literally declared I was never acting again. I was like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm out of the business. I've done it for long enough. It always breaks my heart. I can't do this. I don't understand this, but I'm done. And Tina Fey called me and was like, what? You got to do something. We got to do something. We'll figure it out. We'll do something else together. And then I had the idea that my Instagram had like become really popular and I had the idea that I wanted to do a late night talk show. And so I called Tina and Eric Gurian, her producing partner and Little Stranger, their company. And basically that's how I did the late night talk show. Okay. I never saw the pilot, Danny. Oh. I never saw it.
Oh my God. We need to leak it online.
Wait, but you just reminded me that when we were just in LA doing all this press for Girls 5 Eva coming out, we had this really lovely dinner with Perlina, like all of these big executives from Universal, who is the studio that makes Girls 5 Eva, which is where Tina and Little Stranger had their deal forever, you know, have made all of their shows with Universal. And someone brought up Sackett Sisters. And I said, and Perlina was like, that show almost got picked up. It was so great. I still can't believe that show didn't get picked up. And I was like, I've never seen it. Someone emailed me a link the next day from Universal. But I literally was so,
you were distracted. Yeah.
Well, we were just doing so much press. And so I saw it. I read, like, I looked at it. So it, you know, isn't, I don't have a notification. And I just forgot about it until this second.
Okay. So you're going to watch it when we're done here. And then you'll forward me the link.
I'm going to.
As a gay man of a certain age, we were pretty thrilled about this. I remember when like the news came out, like I was so fucking excited because I love Casey. I love you and Tina Fey. And it just seemed like the best show ever. So foolproof to me. I can't imagine how it didn't go. So we need it to happen, or at least to be able to see the pilot, because I just know it'd be good.
I know. I felt that way too. And it was actually really sort of indicative of the time that we were about to like go into in terms of the streaming services and kind of like the contraction of the entertainment business while also the explosion of the content and the entertainment industry, like all of these things, just, it was just like a wild moment. And like they picked up AP Bio instead. I remember it was like, it's either going to be you or AP Bio. And then they picked up AP Bio and I was like, another one about a teacher. I was like, and AP Bio was a great show, but was on it. But I was like, my God, I was so upset.
But I do kind of feel, I sort of needed to hear this story today. And maybe that's why it came up. The universe was working in a specific way. Cause I was sort of feeling like in this moment of, I've been getting frustrated. I have some projects that are kind of stuck right now as the industry is kind of a mess. And I was sort of feeling that lately of like, I'm ready to kind of give up. But it is true that like, a door closes, it might be closing for a specific reason, or it might be leading you to a different path or something. And I think we all need to be reminded of that, because without that, maybe you wouldn't have had developed those connections with Tina Fey's company for Girls Five Eva. And now here you are.
Well, exactly. And by the way, I mean, not for nothing, like I'm really proud of the late night talk show. And I was, and specifically, I was really grateful that I was able to have that platform, like as the extreme abortion ban started getting passed across the country, because I was the one that was able to speak to it in a real, obviously lived experience way, that, you know, you've got all these fucking men in late night commenting on the events of the day, and yet none of them had mentioned any of it. And like, it really obviously shows the importance, right, of like representation and whatever. But like, I have felt in the last few years, especially, like, well, if the only reason why I had that talk show was for that moment, like, great. Like, that's fantastic. I'm so, and you're right. Like, if Sackett's Sisters had happened, that would have never happened.
Right. Is there a busy project that you've done that maybe isn't as popular, or something that you would say, oh, this is a really good project? Not necessarily something that you love your work in, but something that maybe was little seen, or does that make sense?
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean?
I would say, I mean, Undeclared comes to mind. That's something that wasn't really, that was a great project, but.
That was a great project. I mean, because I just like came in and did like a couple episodes. I don't feel like a strong attachment to it, although I loved it. But like, yeah, I mean, no, I can't think of anything. I think I Feel Pretty didn't get.
Oh, right. Amy Schumer.
I think that movie was like so much more than what happened to it because of like online discourse based on the trailer, which is like exhausting to me, that piece, you know. And full disclosure, my like kid's dad, my ex-husband co-wrote and co-directed that movie. So like I had been around for the whole, you know, development and discussion and the whole thing of it, and like saw how it all went. And, you know, so I felt like, I feel like that didn't get like a fair enough shot. Yeah. And also she's, you know, polarizing in some ways. So that was complicated, I think, but I still think that movie is pretty sweet and funny.
You mentioned late night, and you actually are doing another late night show with QVC. And you probably think I'm bullshitting you because I hope it sounds sincere, because I legitimately do love QVC. I've always had a dream since I was little of being able to sell like Warner Brothers holiday merch on QVC. Like, that's my fantasy.
Who doesn't fucking love QVC?
It's so good. It's so good, Fizzy.
It's so good, which is why I do have to say, like, you know, canceling the show, the late night show, was another one of those moments for me where I was a little bit like, this business makes no sense. And I'm throwing my hands up and like, okay, so we have to figure something else out. And I guess I have to do it.
Right.
I guess we got to figure out different ways of making stuff, different people to go to. And like, and you know, the QVC thing, it's like, it's been like a journey, but because at first we were sort of thinking that we would like go directly to advertisers maybe and try to do a version of a late night show in that way. And then I don't know, like we were just, Casey, my who was my showrunner on the late night show, and who
we love, Casey, also worked on the Rosie O'Donnell show, my favorite show of all time. We sort of message sometimes about Rosie.
Yeah, she said to tell me that she says, tell you that she says hi. Okay. She loves you too. But so we were like working right after the E! Show was canceled to sort of like try to think of a different way of doing it. And then the pandemic happened and everything got like kind of just, you know, everything was a mess. And then I got Girls Five Eva. And, but we always have been like kind of trying to figure it out and like crack the code. And I worked with QVC last winter doing a holiday special for them. And at the time I had them hire Casey to come like do this, write it with me. And at the time I was like, Casey, do you think we can talk QVC into letting us do a late night show? And she's like, I think we can try. So we did. And like, it's so exciting. Like so thrilled. We're starting literally like next week. We're starting.
And
working.
So is it going to be interview with the component of sales as well?
Well, I think that there's going to be less of a tradish QVC vibe, like where it's like selling on camera, unless people want to, because you're not the only person who's like, my dream has been to sell something on QVC. Like I've talked to multiple people who are like, okay, yeah, great. And so I get to sell stuff. Right. And I'm like, sure, I guess if that's what you want to do. But it'll be more like, we'll do interviews because of the way that like they're set up and stuff. We are going to be filming in New York, but it won't be as like topical as my show was on E, which we did like day of that show, which is, the turnaround was crazy. So we'll be a few weeks out, I think, on this one. And yeah, like we're like already booking guests. It's like getting exciting. But everything in the set is from QVC. So you can like buy anything that you see, basically. I think everything that I'll be wearing, like, is from QVC. And so you see something you like, you can get it.
It's sort of shocking that they haven't done this yet, but it is exciting. We have to take a quick break here. Much more to come with Busy Phillips. In the meantime, you can go to youtube.com/DannyPellegrino and the number one to watch video of this interview. I try to put all the Zooms that I can up there, all the interviews that I can from the show. Again, youtube.com/DannyPellegrino and the number one. Go to www.everythingiconic.store for Everything Iconic merch. You can get signed copies of my book. And I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. Okay, back to some of your other projects. Let's see here. I got my notes. Okay, Dawson's Creek. I could talk about Dawson's Creek forever. Now, I won't bore you with that. But you did meet your friend Michelle there. What was there a time on set that you kind of knew that that was going to be a friend for life? Like, did you have a moment or, I don't know, when you first met or somewhere down the line where you just kind of looked at her?
I actually think the first moment we met, we like knew that we were going to be, you know how that is? Like you just like meet. Yeah. I think it was, we both remember it so clearly, like where we were and how we met each other. And I feel like it was just so clear to both of us. We're like, oh, we're meant to be together for life.
And in real life, would you be more of like Team Pacey or Team Dawson? Like, who would you gravitate towards more?
Oh, I'm Pacey, IRL. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too.
And on the show.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I think, yeah, and you know, I'm definitely a Pacey. What's going on with Katie Holmes? Have you heard from Katie Holmes in a while? What's happening with Katie Holmes?
I've seen her a couple times in recent months. She seems good. I saw her at the Ula Johnson fashion show. She was with her nephew who was like, I was dying because I remember him being like a literal baby and he's a full grown up. And
I saw a picture of Suri Cruz somewhere and I was like, oh my really? God, Suri Cruz is like a full teenager.
Well, yeah, we all have like, we literally all, because that's what happens. Because children, Danny, grow up.
No, I don't like that. It means I know. Growing up.
Well, try being the parent of one.
Do you ever just pop on? You probably don't pop on an episode of Dawson's Creek, but I do sometimes go back and watch old ones on Netflix. But you don't.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's fun.
No, and I like full disclosure. I didn't watch it before I was on it.
Okay, busy. That's a wrap on this. How dare you?
I know. I'm so sorry.
Do this?
People aren't happy when I say that, but I wasn't. We were like, my dorm in college, was it like a Felicity watching dorm?
Sure.
So, I was like,
did you turn it off when she cut her hair?
No, I was, yeah. I thought the hair was cute.
There must have been a lot of roles around that time that you probably almost got, right? Like maybe, or you were doing Dawson's Creek and couldn't do something. Or was there one that kind of sticks out where you're like, oh man, I auditioned for that. I almost had that.
I auditioned that first year because Freaks and Geeks was first. I did the pilot when I was 19. I auditioned for so many teen shows that pilot season, but I remember I auditioned for Roswell and I didn't get that, obviously. What else did I audition for? I don't know. Like, I mean, there were just so many. I remember auditioning for Josie and the Pussycats and like being like, I'm definitely getting this fucking part. And I did not get it.
Which one was it? Which one was it? The Rachel Lee Cook or the, yeah.
Tara Reid.
Okay. That movie's so good.
I feel like there were multiple parts that they were like, and they're out to Tara Reid. And I was like, fuck.
Tara Reid was working hard. Tara Reid was working hard at that era.
She was. She was like getting all the jobs.
Did you ever see that or hear that interview with Jenny McCarthy of Tara Reid where they're like arguing about Sharknado?
Oh my God.
Best thing ever. But okay, busy. Wow. It's the best thing ever. Now that we've sort of warmed up and know each other now, I feel like I can admit this to you. I used to have this tape that I taped VHS stuff off MTV. And I had a tape where it was like The Real World and or The Challenge. Remember The Challenge? Like the old school version. But anyway, it led into a movie called Spring Break Lawyer that you're in.
And I can't believe I don't have it here. My friend from high school, I just saw him over, like my gay best friend from high school. I saw when I went back to Arizona over the holidays and he gave it to me. He bought it on VHS on eBay and gave it to me.
I had it taped. It would just play. So I would be watching this tape and then Spring Break Lawyer. And I would always like record the new episode and then I'd watch it and the new episode would end and it would cut to your movie Spring Break Lawyer. So I feel like I saw the second half of Spring Break Lawyer 700 times. Like I've seen it so many times.
That is insane.
Right.
And I'm glad because you're like the only person.
I was like, she probably won't even remember this, but I feel like I have to say it.
Wait, I totally remember it. I remember it because I had done, that was in the era of MTV making movies, like original content. Like they did the Carmen, the hip opera.
With Beyonce, of course.
With Beyonce. And then I did like a really serious one with Ian Somerhalder. And oh my God, I can't remember the other people that were in it, but it was directed by this guy, Tim someone. Who had directed that movie, A River's Edge, that was so good, that like movie, A River's Edge. And it was called it was a very serious movie about the Matthew Shepard story, like pre-Laramie Project. Like it was called Anatomy of a Hate Crime. And it was super interesting. I mean, I was really, I feel like I was like, I don't even think I was 21 yet. I think I was 20. And the idea was like, they like wanted to make a movie that was sort of like digestible for preteens and teenagers about like hate crimes and what had happened to Matthew Shepard. Mm. And I don't think that, I mean, I remember watching that movie. Like, I think it was pretty decent for what that like made for TV movie was. Yeah. And then MTV called me and they were like, they offered me Spring Break Lawyer. And it was so fucking bad and insane. But Danny, it was like one of those things where I think they offered me like $40,000 to do it. And I was sort of like, I have to do it. Like I couldn't not do it. Like it was so much money for me at that age. And as an actor who was like, wasn't on a TV show at the time, Freaks and Geeks had been canceled. And it was so lucky I did it because I didn't end up booking a pilot that year. And I would have like totally run out of money and been out of luck. So Spring Break Lawyer really helped me make it through.
And I can say that like the second half was good. The second half is really great.
There's no world in which that is true.
I don't quite remember, but I do remember MTV making a lot of those movies at that time. And I really enjoyed them.
They like had a whole thing.
It does sound though, like a Tina Fey, like made up title or something though. Like Spring Break Lawyer sounds like something from Girls Five Eva that your character would have been like, oh, I was in Spring Break Lawyer back in 2001.
I could just write that into, I could tell Meredith Scardino to just put that in.
And Busy, just play a clip from the actual Spring Break Lawyer. It would be so fucking funny.
They genuinely could.
Oh my God. Okay,
we're making that happen. Summer Dukowski in Spring Break Lawyer.
Okay, I swear I'm letting you go. Entourage, what do you remember from your episode of Entourage? I went deep with the cuts today. The listeners are probably like, I don't fucking know Spring Break Lawyer, but I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm excited that you are excited to talk about it. I remember like being sort of, full disclosure.
Please.
Like I fucking hated that show. And I remember though being sort of told like, this is a thing you got, like, you should do this. Like, you got to do that. If you're a hot girl, like, and you want to be, like, you got to be on Entourage. And I had auditioned for it, like, I think a couple times I had auditioned for Entourage. And then I can't remember how that part happened. I think I auditioned for it. Yeah, I auditioned for it.
Were the guys dog, nice? Were they right? nice? Yeah, oh it was a dog situation.
I really just worked with Jerry and Kevin. And Jerry was the sweetest, like the nicest kid. And actually, oh my God, my door just slammed. Sorry, that scared me.
That's okay.
I actually think that it was the first scene that he ever gave Turtle where he like had a make out scene with a girl.
Right, right. Because he didn't get a lot of action in the beginning.
He didn't. And I think that it was the first one is what my memory is.
Right.
Because I remember we had like, and by the way, this is like for, you know, your listeners, like obviously predates like intimacy coordinators and whatnot. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember like taking him aside and being like, okay, look, like here's how this is going to work, you know, because it was post Dawson's Creek that I did that. I think it was right after Dawson's Creek. So I had obviously done a lot of making out on the creek.
So you're like, I got this.
I know how to do it, Jerry. Listen, nothing to be nervous about.
Right.
So like, yeah, I remember having this whole conversation and he was so nice.
He's a Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland. He lives in Cleveland now. And I find him very attractive too, Jerry Ferrara, I think is his last name.
Yeah. I feel like he aged well.
Yeah, he did. We have to take one more quick break here. We'll be right back with so much more. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, I'm letting you go with this quick lightning round real quick. I ask all of my guests these next two questions. People Magazine, if you were choosing for Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose? And also your favorite Mariah Carey song. And then I also want to know your favorite comfort movie. Like mine, as an example, You've Got Mail to Me is Everything. I love a Meg Ryan movie, but specifically that one. So People Magazine, Sexiest Man Alive, favorite Mariah Carey, and comfort movie.
Oh my God. You know who I love? I wish I could date him. I am single. I guess I technically could.
Put it out there.
I fucking love Chris Pine.
Oh, I know. My friend just sat next to him on a plane and said he was like so sweet and gorgeous. Yeah.
Does your friend want to set me up with him?
Let's make it happen. Yeah.
I'm friends with Zach Quinto, and at one point he's like, he just started dating someone, otherwise I would. And I was like, fuck. I love him. But I also just love his vibe. Like, his the vibe he gives me is so good. That is kind of everything. So that's Chris Pine. Oh my God. Jesus. Mariah Carey. I love Thanks for Nothing. You know Thanks for Nothing?
Yes. I'm obsessed with this answer, Busy. Everybody always says the Christmas song.
I love it.
Okay.
Anyway, I love that song. But I love her. Like, I love anything. She's amazing.
I do too. And is there a comfort movie? Do you have like a rom-com or something that you go to or that you'll stop when it's on TV or that just makes you feel good?
It's
White
so
Chicks is that for all of us. Just
I know everybody loves. I love that everybody loves White Chicks and that it's so many people's comfort movies. It's like opened a lot of doors for me. Recently for my children, like Olivia Rodrigo, like when I met her years ago because my older daughter, who's now almost 16, but was like 5 or 6. And Olivia Rodrigo was in an American Girl doll movie, called Grace Stirs Up Success. She was 12, I think. And I literally took my daughter to like a meet and greet at the South Coast Plaza Mall to meet Grace from Grace Stirs Up Success, who happens to now be, you know, Olivia Rodrigo, who was always Olivia Rodrigo.
Crazy.
But it didn't even occur to me when we got to meet her, she was like, oh my God, from White Chicks. She was like such a fan of White Chicks. Anyway, so my daughter is like definitely reaped the
it's so good
benefits of that. I mean, I don't know. I'm so confused by how to access anything at this point. Like, I really miss cable. I'm such a fucking...
I know. Just give me DirecTV and like, let me just scroll.
I'm just so Gen X. Like I don't get it. Like, I'm like, how do I even find my comfort movie? I don't, like, I used to know them because on a Saturday you would be like hungover and and it would be on like E or it would be on like whatever, some other, you know, HBO or whatever, just like playing. But at this point I'm like, I don't know how to access it.
Right.
Don't you think?
No, I totally agree. I mean, there's a new Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And that to me, I remember being a kid and it was on HBO like every minute, you know, and
that's why
we watched it all the time. It was just odd. And then you started to love it because it was comfortable and we would watch it every second.
I do think like the movie, like speaking of my ex-husband, but like their first movie, Never Been Kissed, is kind of a little bit that for me. Oh, I know. I have two. So Never Been Kissed is a little bit that for me, which by the way, came out 25 years ago today.
Don't tell me that. Shush up.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. It makes me feel so old. I think I remember seeing that in theaters. And we loved Drew Barrymore. Drew was so good at it.
We loved Drew. That was like a real moment for Drew. So Don't Tell Mom the Baby. Wait, not so. Never Been Kissed. And then you know what I had on VHS and I watched all the time. And if I ever saw it, I would watch it. But it like is so old now.
What
is Soap Dish?
Ah, a classic. Sally, I mean, come on. That's the problem. They're just not making movies like this anymore, which is a tale for another time. But yeah. Busy, this was so great. I hope everyone checks out Girls 5 Eva. The new season's on Netflix. Please go watch it immediately and tell a friend to watch it because I desperately need more episodes. And I will never forgive the listening audience if they don't start watching Girls 5 Eva and get us more seasons because I need more seasons.
I know. I hope they're watching it because I feel like if they're your listening audience, they must love it.
They would love it. Anyone listening to this podcast would love it. But it is a quick sense of humor, and it's such a smart sense of humor. And it's loaded with jokes and so silly. I mean, I can't praise it enough, especially now. There's not a whole lot of, like, I keep saying, like, silliness on TV, and I miss that because I need an escape, and I just want to laugh. And it's the only show where I really can sit back and know that I'm just going to laugh for 30 fucking minutes instead of...
I have to say, yes, and like Sarah Bareilles. So also, guys, Sarah Bareilles is on it. Renee Elise Goldsberry from Hamilton, me, Paul Appel. Sarah and I
were talking. Is Andrea is her name? Andrea, the fifth one who's, or the actress who plays the fifth one? Are we going to bring her in?
Ashley?
Ashley, are we going to bring her back?
Ashley Park, who's on, she's on the Emily in Paris show.
But the character's still alive, right? Wasn't it like teased that she's still alive?
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I think because Ashley's career kind of like got crazy, so... So I think, you know, we'll see. I mean, I love, like, Ashley's the greatest. I love her so much. I mean, yeah, she's got to be alive.
Yeah, she's the character, I think, is alive. They alluded to it. And so I keep waiting for her to come back. I'm like, oh, they're going to, that's why we need more episodes.
We definitely need to, you know what? We need to close that loop for sure. Yeah. We need to close that loop. But yeah, girls, oh, Sarah and I were saying today, we were talking and we were saying how it's like so many people that have found the show since it's been on Netflix have reached out or post on Instagram or whatever, just like how easy and joyful it is and like funny. Like just, it's like, so even though we do like deal with some of these things, like that from the way that women were treated and the music industry and whatever, it is like, you are never in a moment where you feel like, I don't know, you're being like talked to about.
Yeah, it's just a way to check out. Like, it's just
so fun.
Smart and silly and funny, and you're all brilliant in the roles. It's just, I can't praise it enough. And I'm not just bullshitting it you because you're here, but I just think it's one of the greatest shows on TV. Really, really funny, and I need more. Okay, Busy, thank you so much for the time. This was such a pleasure, and hopefully we'll get to meet in person one of these days.
I know. All right.